Welcome to It's About Florida. Nurse practitioners are hoping lawmakers will consider legislation that would give them more authority to prescribe common medicines instead of reserving that privilege for doctors. Nurse practitioners are registered nurses who have obtained a postgraduate degree in their field. We will hear from one of them, Dr. Patricia Warrenberger, a board-certified family nurse practitioner, and State Representative Michelle Raywinkle-Vasalinda, a Tallahassee Democrat. Later in the program, we will hear from the Executive Vice President, Jay Milson, with the Florida Association of Family Physicians. Let's kick things off with Dr. Warrenberger.
Well, the issue for prescriptive privileges, there's two types of prescriptive privileges. One is legend drugs, which is non-DEA-controlled licensure drugs. Okay, so legend drugs, everybody can write, the physicians, nurse practitioners, PAs, without restriction. So I can write Coumadin, and that's a really bad drug if given in the wrong proportions. And, you know, it requires a level of complexity of knowledge. And in training, we are trained to prescribe all drugs. In 48 states and the District of Columbia, nurse practitioners can write, have DEA licensure.
Yeah.
We do not in Florida or Alabama. And there is no studies that show that there's any difference in quality of care in the use of any legend or DEA-controlled drugs. And the misconception is the DEA-controlled drugs, they say controlled substances. We don't like to call it that because it's not just – it is controlled substances. That's a correct term. But everybody equates that term with – the big pain meds.
Yeah. So with this 36 years of experience, Drew, you are now pushing to make sure nurses, just like yourself, are able to prescribe medication.
Well, nurse practitioners.
Nurse practitioners.
Okay. There's an RN and there's a nurse practitioner. And I am proud to be a nurse. So, you know, but nurse practitioners is the official. Yes. You know, to have parity with the rest of the country. You know, and unfortunately, we're seeing trending that shows that people are leaving. Unfortunately, there's lag time between people have licensure and then they might leave the state and it still shows up as an active license. So it's sometimes hard to determine who's current and who's not. But the trending shows that the numbers are dropping in providers that are in the state. So, you know, it's a big deal. One, you know, there's limited access to care because there's not enough primary care providers out there. We have a elderly, you know, an aging population. I'm one of the baby boomers, obviously. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you have access issues, cost issues and access issues.
Yeah.
And so when I have somebody come into my clinic and it's 6 o'clock at night and it's a physician run clinic potentially that I used to be working in. And so I'm the person there and somebody needs a cough medicine that has codeine in it, a small amount of codeine, or they need a testosterone, which is considered a DEA licensed, or God forbid that I give them Lamotil versus Imodium, which is an over-the-counter medicine, the Imodium, but Lamotil is a very good antidiarrheal medication. I cannot write that prescription, even though it's the least controlled substance, the least DEA licensed.
Why do you want to be able to write that prescription?
Because that patient sitting in front of me potentially cannot get that medication. If I can't get a hold of a physician at that moment to call in a prescription to the pharmacy. There's certain prescriptions that can be called in. There's certain ones that need a written, a live prescription. So they may have to wait until the next day before that live prescription can be written by somebody. Also, that prescription is being written by somebody that hasn't seen that patient. And in the vast majority of states, I could write that prescription without any indication that, you know, there's a lack of care then that the person has to wait. Or I have to look at them and say, listen, I can't see you today. You better go to urgent care or the ER, which drives up costs. It you know, impacts somebody who's sick, does not want to be trucking around trying to find some place that could write a prescription that I could have written in 48 other places in the country.
So last legislative session, you guys were working very closely with Representative Michelle Raywinkle-Vasalinda. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Greg.
And
glad to be here.
To get this issue through the legislature, but it wasn't successful. And take us back. What were you trying to accomplish then?
Well, what we're trying to accomplish is making sure that patients have access and that we have affordable health care. Those are the two things that from the top with the president in the United States all the way to the local level, that's what we're trying to do in this country because we have 218 areas in Florida, according to a governor's report that I have from the National Governors Association, that are rural areas and other areas that are underserved populations, underserved medically. And so we need to make sure that we're doing the things that we can do and must do to make sure that people have affordable and accessible care. One of the pieces to that is certainly the nurse practitioners, and we need to make sure that they are in the arena as strongly as they can be. And there are 48 other states that allow nurse practitioners to prescribe these medicines, and we need to step up to the plate. Florida has a need. We have a need for accessibility and affordability. The nurse practitioners can do that. And we also have a bill this year to allow nurses to Baker Act, advanced nurse practitioners to Baker Act, and that is a piece that they need. What we run into politically is the Florida Medical Association. There is, you know, there is a territorial kind of fight here. I mean, I don't want to bring that out too strongly, but I think that's part of it. When you look at 48 other states doing something, and their citizens are safely being taken care of and having access and having more affordable care, and you have a group like Tax Watch that's saying that the nurse practitioners need to be part of the solution. And then you see that there is a pushback, very strong pushback. Yeah. You then wonder where that's coming from. And I can tell you politically, I've been in the game long enough that when some good common sense things don't go forward, there's usually somebody pushing back for a particular reason of self-interest.
And they push back and they won last session. What were you hearing in this political back and forth? Why didn't they want this issue to go forward?
Because I think they're concerned about the nurse practitioners perhaps taking some of their territory, taking some of their patients. I think they're concerned about ostensibly they're concerned about patient care, but I think that there have been many studies that have shown that the nurse practitioners do an excellent job of patient care, often spending more time than physicians, having good outcomes, especially with where we're trying to go in this country where it comes to doing more preventative care, more aftercare with regard to people with diabetes and obesity problems. The nurse practitioners have actually, in some cases, had better outcomes. Mm-hmm. So we need to really look at where we're going, and we need to make sure that we have, once again, the two legs of how to get our community, state, nation, healthier, is affordability and accessibility. And I think the nurse practitioners are certainly part of the answer. When you got a group like Tax Watch that had a summit February 11th talking about these issues, telling us how much the state could potentially save. Tax Watch is not your they are the ones that in general look at things with a very objective eye as to costs.
Yeah. Florida Tax Watch, they issued a report that you're referring to suggesting that the legislature allow advanced registered nurse practitioners perform procedures within the scope of their training. The report says nurse practitioners can perform up to 80% of primary care functions, which are currently billed by physicians. So, Dr. Warrenberger, it's a turf war. It's looking like the nurse practitioners are trying to encroach upon what the doctors do. They go through all of these years of studies to get that MD, that certification, and it seems like it's a perk to be able to a big responsibility to be able to write these prescriptions. So are you guys qualified to be able to do the same as they do?
Well, although our educational pathways are different, research shows abundantly that patient outcomes are similar for nurse practitioners and physicians. We had a group of studies that we compiled in a book for the Tax Watch Summit on Monday, and we even removed the pages that did not refer to nurse practitioners in the studies, and it was still a book that was about 8 inches thick of studies from the year 2000 nurse practitioners have been around since longer than that. And so, you know, we went back that far and figured that probably showed our thing. You know, we're a team. You know, we're not trying to take over. We're trying to provide good, accessible, quality access to care for the Floridians.
Yeah.
That's our whole point. And in the state of Arizona, they actually did studies because there is autonomous practice. There's no limit on the scope of practice for nurse practitioners in Arizona, either DEA or scope. And that was a concern. And the study that they did was, one, it didn't change the bottom line of how much the physicians made. It didn't change how many patients they saw. It didn't change there was so many more people out there that weren't being taken care of that we filled the gap. We're mm-hmm. not – it's not a turf war. It's accessibility to people that don't have accessibility.
From the patient's point of view, are you guys qualified to take on that responsibility?
We are already shown to be qualified in 48 other states and the District of Columbia.
Mm-hmm. These nurse practitioners have 6 to 8 years of education and then clinical experience that they have to have as well. They're not asking to do brain surgery. They're asking to do primary care kinds of things. And I think that will allow doctors to do higher level things like, you know, what some of them have been trained to do. Now, certainly primary care physicians, that's what they do as well. But I think Dr. Wallenberger can explain it a little bit better. But I am very, very confident that they are well trained and that they have good educational credentials and clinical credentials. So I'm very confident. Matter of fact, to be mm-hmm. honest with you, with my own personal care, I have seen a nurse practitioner probably for the past 8 or 9 years, and just recently started to go to the Bond Clinic where I do see Dr. Temple Robinson. But the point is, that was just a friendship kind of, yeah. And I trust Dr. Robinson as well, but for 8 or 9 years straight, I saw a nurse practitioner. And I was very pleased. And my husband does, and my daughters do, and so on. So I think we can be very confident that nurse practitioners are giving a high level of care with excellence, mm-hmm. nurturing care. They have a different attitude sometimes.
But Representative, the concerns have been raised that, like, Florida's dealing with its prescription drug abuse problems. And from the critics and those over on the doctor's end, they're saying, like, should be very careful about opening this up to another class in the medical profession of being able to prescribe these medications. So what are you – like, are you concerned in that aspect of, like, with this problem that the state is facing with prescription drug abuse and their concern of, like, not feeling comfortable of letting this prescription writing power be expanded?
I was on the healthcare committees when we looked at the pill mill bill and it passed on through. I saw the testimony. I never heard anything mm-hmm. about nurse practitioners or advanced nurse practitioners. I only heard about doctor clinics. So if you can draw a straight line to them, fine, well, let's take a look at it. But there is no straight line. It's been the doctor's clinics that have had the difficulty. We have a law. I think anybody who violates that law should be prosecuted, and I think that that's across the board. I do not think that frankly, I think that's a red herring. I don't think the nurse practitioners are susceptible to that or any more susceptible than the physicians, and there's been no cases that I heard on that committee and no factual piece that proves that there's a connection in that way.
We've been seeking comment on this and to see how this will play out this coming legislative session and some of what you'll be dealing with, Representative. Over in the Senate side, Senate President Don Gates, he made a few comments about this. So I want you to listen in and see, get your thoughts on what he had to say.
My son went to college with a bunch of guys who are all now physicians, and they recently got together for a little reunion, and every single one of them, Floridians all, have decided that they can't practice in Florida because of the malpractice environment, because Florida is not a welcome place to practice medicine. So one thing we can do about access to health care is to let other people other than doctors write prescriptions. But another thing we can do, which is what I would rather do, is to make sure that Florida is a better place to practice medicine. And that's why I'm going to support medical tort reform in this session of the legislature.
What are your thoughts on medical tort reform?
My goodness. We have had medical tort reform. I think if you talk to the lawyers who have done medical practice in their careers, they would tell you that they feel the medical tort reform has really had an effect. And I think that really we need to look at this issue here. Mm-hmm. When 48 other states have found this allowing nurse practitioners to have an extended scope of practice and do these prescribed drugs or prescribe these drugs, I think what we have here is a question of why not Florida, especially when Florida has the need, the pockets of need and for accessibility, and we certainly have the need with regard to affordability.
Do you get hope from what the Senate president said? I think in the middle there he said allowing others to prescribe it should be expanded.
I hope there's some hope and some common sense looking at this. I think President Gates is a common sense fellow. He looks at the bottom line. I think he's got a number of moving pieces that he's trying to work in the political system. One of them is probably working, as he just said, extending medical tort reform. That is going to be a piece, so he's going to push that. But I also think he understands the numbers very, very well and understands the need. It just becomes then where the FMA comes in on this. They have never supported me. And so I think you have to actually look at where they are and what they're doing and where their push is. I know the good doctor here doesn't want perhaps maybe to get into that, but I can because I feel it and I know what sometimes I hear out there in the hall. So
yeah, we reached out to the Florida Medical Association and they weren't able to get someone to comment at this time or participate in this discussion. I don't know what that means. We'll try again to follow up with them. On the issue of liability, Dr. Warrenberger, what will happen if something goes wrong with a prescription, if this goes forward that you write? Who's responsible? Is it the doctor's office? Or
I have a license. Yeah. I have an independent license. Mm-hmm. I can't practice independently, but I have an independent license, so it comes back to me. Now, it is interesting because if a physician has a collaborative agreement with me, do they hold a liability for somebody that they've never seen? And my practice agreement with my physician that I work with, all it says is I will be available to Pat Warrenberger if she has questions. I mean, that's the bottom line. There is no oversight. They don't have to step into the clinic. They don't ever have to even look at a chart. They don't have to do anything. There is a signature only that says, I'll be available. And so there, you know, the liability on the physician end, I wouldn't want to be in that position. Yeah. But to get back to liability, in the rest of the states, there is no increase in liability. The reason we have less malpractice premiums is because there is no issue. Obviously, the insurance companies trust us.
All right. Representative, there's House Bill 625 that's going to be discussed or see where it goes this session by Representative Pigman and Renuart. So this would allow nurse practitioners under the direction of doctors to be able to prescribe. I think the key words are like under the direction of a physician. So what are your thoughts on that bill?
It's a step forward. I think it's a step forward in a state that has been very, very stubborn about doing it, doing these kinds of opening up scope of practice. And so I applaud a step forward. I don't think it goes far enough. And I was looking at the National Governors Association study, and Florida is in the top five of the states with regard to the total number of health professional shortage areas, and these are geographic areas that are do not have access or dependable access to health care.
So how would a bill like that affect you, Dr. Warrenberger, to be able to prescribe under the direction of a physician?
depends on how it's written. Okay. Right now, if it's a collaborative practice, I still have to have a collaborative practice agreement with a physician. If that physician leaves me, I'm out of work until I would have another one. And so from a standpoint of opening up a clinic in a rural area that is underserved, I cannot do that knowing that in 30 days I may be out of a job and I would have to close the clinic.
All right. Well, we'll see how it all turns out. And I'd like to thank you both for joining me here on It's About Florida. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you, Trum.
You're listening to It's About Florida. I'm Tramell Gomes. We just heard the point of view of the nurses, but on the other side of this debate are the doctors. We now hear from the Executive Vice President of the Florida Association of Family Physicians, Jay Milson.
Yeah, my name's Jay Milson. I'm the Executive Director of the Florida Academy of Family Physicians. And really, what it boils down to is obviously we want to be able to provide access to quality care throughout Florida, particularly primary care in terms of what physicians, family physicians provide to patients. And as part of that, many family physicians use what we call physician extenders or nurse practitioners or physicians assistants to be able to accommodate greater access to care. Certainly there is a discussion, and there has been efforts by the nurse practitioners in particular to expand their scope of practice to being able to prescribe controlled substances. As we saw the legislature several years ago pass reforms having to do with the pill mill state, as we know it, or has been characterized. They were very restrictive in terms of how controlled substances obviously are prescribed. Mm-hmm. We have a problem. We needed to address that. In terms of extending that to nurse practitioners, we do have concerns of it if it would be outside of the scope of a physician's supervision. And so we have been talking to the nurses, as a matter of fact, for a better part of the last year in ways in which we may be able to craft some legislation that would expand their scope and their ability to prescribe controlled substances, but we'd have to do it in a logical fashion that doesn't extend beyond their training and experience.
So you are saying that how right now, in order for them to get this, to expand their scope of practice, you're sort of willing to do it, but not really give them like full prescribing power.
No, because we don't believe that that's in the best interest of the patients. We tend to disagree in terms of the training and experience that nurse practitioners have, with respect to prescribing controlled substances. There are logical limits in terms of what they go to school for and the amount of education that they receive in terms of prescribing. And controlled substances is one that physicians have much more training and experience in. And so we believe that any of that has to be done under the supervision of a physician. But, you know, currently they can't write any. And so we're in discussions with how do we craft something that allows them to write it, but it has to remain under the supervision of a physician, because it really comes back to patient safety. We want to ensure that the patients aren't in jeopardy in any way in terms of the care that they receive.
So after speaking with Dr. Pat Warrenberger, a board-certified family nurse practitioner, and Representative Ray Winkle Vasalinda of Tallahassee, they were saying, like, you know, this is done in 48 other states, and why not Florida to get in line? Is it a patchwork, or have you guys come to agreements in other states, or do they have full prescribing power in other states? They're pushing for here.
They don't have the same prescribing authority in the 48 states. They have different levels of capability. I mean, we just had heard from Texas within the last week that they're looking at expanding theirs some, but the legislation hasn't passed. To answer your question specifically, each state is a little bit different in terms of expanding that scope. We have to work out the details of what it would look like and, you know, what state it would look like. I can't tell you. It may be different than any other state.
Is this a turf battle?
The analogy I would provide is, well, it's really no different than in the legal environment. Why do you have the bar and having to be an attorney, and you can't practice law without having a license to practice law, or you cannot be an engineer without having a license to be an engineer, or an architect, or, you know, versus a draftsman, versus a, you know, an electrician versus an electrical engineer. We have these certifications and licenses in place for obvious reasons. Otherwise, anyone could do it. And I truly believe that the Board of Medicine and the Bar Association, those are the most qualified individuals to determine what's best in terms of the level of training and experience those people need to be able to practice those trades. So, having said that, I think medicine is probably at the highest level of that because you're dealing with people's health.
Yeah.
And we need to be very careful in terms of how we shape that. It can be very easily seen as a turf battle, and we understand that. But ultimately, we're responsible for, or our members are responsible for, taking care of those patients, and we can't put that in jeopardy in any way.
Well, thank you so much for taking this time to speak with me. I really appreciate your time.
You're welcome.
Thank you to our guests, Dr. Patricia Warrenberger with the Florida Association of Nurse Practitioners, State Representative Michelle Raywinkle-Vasalinda, and Jay Milson with the Florida Association of Family Physicians. You've been listening to It's About Florida, a production of WFSU-FM. Technical assistance provided by Taylor Cox. Please join us again next week for more discussions about the issues impacting our state. I'm Tramell Gomes.